So I don't know about you guys. On Friday night, I think it was Friday night, 8 o'clock, my wife said to me, we need to get out on the road and go for a drive. Any ideas where we're heading? They just opened the brand new bridge over the Reed Highway Peachborough Bypass. She was so excited. We had to do it. So we all hopped in the car and drove over, and yeah, it was amazing. And it got me thinking, you know those projects where you get stuck into? It's a big job you just get stuck into, you're working away, and you look up after a while and lo and behold, you've actually achieved a fair bit. Have you ever done that? Or maybe it's one of those death hikes that we do in the Stirls, where you march and march and you're just about to die and you reach the peak and you just look back and think, wow, look where we've come from. And I want you to kind of have that in mind tonight as we look at what our God has done in us. It is God who has chosen us. It's the Holy Spirit, God's own Spirit, that is changing us. And it is Jesus' blood that cleanses us from every sin. So tonight's Bible reading, let's just go through that quickly. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ, to be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be yours in fullest measure. I love it. In those two verses, mainly that one verse, verse 2, we have the Trinity of God mentioned, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's so special. It's why that really drew me to this passage, to see all three of them at work. At work in what? At work in us. I like how in the NIV, it starts off with to the chosen. Immediately, it gives us a mind of who we are in God. We are God's chosen people. In the NASB that I read from, it speaks of, firstly, aliens. And I like that too. Aliens. Why aliens? Well, these people were people that were Jews who had been taken out of the promised land. But it also reminds us how we are not, this is not our home. That we have a home that we are going to one day. We are just residing here for this time. But soon we've got a better place to go to. God's heaven. So, our Heavenly Father firstly chose us. I wonder how your heart responds to that. To think that God chose me. God chose you. He wants us to know this with certainty. He wants us to be confident that our faith isn't something that we've just conjured up, but it is God who chose you. It is God who chose me. And he has chosen us, what does it say here? According to his foreknowledge. So our God, knowing that we would be really awesome, amazing people, he chose us. Is that right? Yeah. Well, maybe for not for the rest of you, but you know. No, God was entirely aware of how we would reject him. He knew fully how we would choose to rebel against him. And despite our sin, he chose us. We see that in Isaiah 53. I think we're all very familiar with it. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. We all rejected God. We all turned away from him to live for ourselves. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, and we'll read verse 21. And kind of explains this a bit further. Colossians chapter 1. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you to his body. So what does it say that, how does it describe us? We were hostile towards God. We were alienated, estranged. We couldn't comprehend him. We were engaged in evil deeds. We were actively doing what our hearts desired and not what God wanted. And what kind of people, what kind of a person would choose to have people like that? I'm sure not one of us would choose to be with someone who intentionally rejected us, who was deliberately hostile towards us. And yet here in Scripture, we have God telling us that he was fully aware that we would reject him, that we would deliberately be hostile towards him, and yet he chose us. Why? Why would God choose us? If we stood before the holy God, we all would deserve his judgment. However, what does Scripture tell us we have received? So turn with me to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read verses 4 to 5 together. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Our God. What have we received from our God? His mercy. Because he is full of love for you and I. Choosing rebels and sinners to be made alive with Christ. Considering God's rich mercy in our life, how do you respond to that? What should our response be to God's abundant, immeasurable love? Turn with me to Romans chapter 21. I love Paul's description here. Apologies, Romans 12. I was reading it upside down. Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, so because of God's mercy in your life, present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Like a doctor's hammer to our knee, we should spontaneously want to give our whole life to God, a spiritual worship, because of his mercy, because of his great love, because God chose you and me. Let's continue with our Bible reading. So back to 1 Peter again. So God chose us according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Christ. God, through the Holy Spirit, is changing us and transforming us. He is sanctifying us. I like that word. It's a very churchy word. Sanctifying. But what does it actually mean? I like this. I've started using the Blue Letter Bible, and it has a lot of the Greek translated for me. So in Greek, the word sanctification means hageemos. 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 Look it up. It's really awesome. It's a great actual resource to use, Blue Letter Bible. But the meaning is to be set apart for God. So we have that with the a lot of the Old Testament, the altars and things like that. So to be set apart for God, or to be moved from a godless life to a life devoted to God or following and obeying Jesus. So God is at work in us through His Holy Spirit to set you and I apart. So He's chosen us, and now He is actively setting us apart. It's a supernatural work that God does. We can't just wake up one morning and decide, you know what, I'm going to be set apart. That's it. All the way. Because you know, we're going to mess up. We're going to fail. But God has the power to change our hearts. I want us to have a look at Philippians now. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Philippians 2:13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. Isn't that amazing? I find that such a humbling verse to read, that God is personally at work in me for His will and for His good pleasure. It should be a source of great joy for us to know that our God is working for our sanctification. Our God is personally changing us. Our sanctification is not dependent on our own strength. Do we greatly rejoice at this thought that though we sin and fall short of God's glory, our God will never, ever reject us. I trust you know this memory verse, Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are we in Christ Jesus? Yes, because God has chosen us. We will never be condemned again. It's just breathtaking, isn't it? It's a confidence, a certainty that God wants us to have. The Holy Spirit is also changing us to give us the ability to choose to follow Jesus. So the second facet or part of our sanctification, the first being God is working in us. The second part is us choosing. A choice is required on our part to move from a life that is focused on satisfying my desires to a life that is devoted to obeying Jesus. Jesus himself describes it in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he was saying to them all, If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross once a year, that'll be enough. No, take up his cross daily and follow me. We must deliberately and conscientiously choose to live lives that are dedicated to God, that give glory to Him. We'll have a look at Romans 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 13 to 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit, so if the Spirit is helping you, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit, so we're not doing it our own, but the Spirit is helping us. If you're being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So we have to choose to be set apart for God. But if we choose, the Holy Spirit will help us put these deeds to death. The Holy Spirit will lead us. This is God's Spirit leading us and changing us. So we can put to death our desires and no longer live for ourselves, but for His glory. The next C that we're looking at, so we've got chosen, we've got changed, and now we've got cleansed. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. We see that in our reading where it talks, by the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with His blood. This second sprinkling, in my interpretation, I believe I'm right, is not speaking about that initial born again, your conscience is cleansed. And that is spoken of in Hebrews. We can have a look at that, just so you know how they're different. So Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. So when we are born again, God cleanses our conscience. So 9, verse 14. How much more will the blood of Christ, through the eternal Spirit, offered Himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? So when we are born again, our conscience is cleansed by Jesus Christ's blood. We are now no longer under condemnation. But this here in 1 Peter is speaking about a different cleansing. It's 1 Peter is talking in context of a continual work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in our lives in a fallen world. As much as we try not to, we will sin. We will continue sinning. But sinning as a child of God does not mean condemnation for us. Sinning as a child of God means that our relationship with God has been disrupted, and we need God's forgiveness to restore us back to that relationship. We need Jesus' blood to restore us. Like I mentioned earlier, the sanctifying is a present and future tense of the word. The Holy Spirit is continuing to work in us to help us grow in obedience to Christ. It is continuing to help us return to Jesus, restoring us to relationship. Let's have a look at this a bit further in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 and 9. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 and 9. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. John in this passage is talking about believers who are saved, but he's reminding them and us that it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin, that restores us back to fellowship. What a great joy that is. What full assurance that even though we sin, our Heavenly Father will never, ever reject His people, His children. Through Jesus and His cleansing blood, we will always be welcomed back to our God when we seek forgiveness. So, in closing, I want us to think just how great, how rich are God's blessings that we have as His children. It is God Himself who chose you and I. It is God through the Holy Spirit that is changing us. And it is Jesus, our Savior, and His precious blood that cleanses us from every sin. We will never fully grasp the depth, expanse of God's grace for us. But as God's children, these truths should be propelling us to live lives that bring glory to our God, that bring honor to our Heavenly Father, and show those around us that we do serve a living, risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.